5 channels you put this thing through, don't you?
Yeah, so far it is my Facebook regular page, Facebook business page, RevDev, which is our little group of agents, the Proven by Ruben Mastermind, which you see a lot of stuff in.
Yeah.
Two other Facebook groups, LinkedIn and YouTube, my friend.
Thank God for StreamYard. You can just connect it to all them and broadcast.
It makes it so easy, man.
Yeah.
Cool. So as people jump on in all this, let me just adjust this.
Hi, people.
And some you won't see until they register with StreamYard. But so we got some check marks. If you are watching live, if you don't mind, could you hit that heart and share? I promise somebody's going to get something out of this because we got the man. We got the myth. We got the legend, Jake Dixon. If you don't mind, tell everyone who you are, what you do, how you do it, and all that good jazz.
Whoo! Well, that could take the whole show right there, man. But I'll give you the skinny version. So, yes, I am, first above all else, a friend to Ruben Garcia, the actual man, the actual myth, and the actual legend, proven by Ruben, hashtag. And so I'm the founder, CEO of the Locker Room Real Estate Coaching and Training Company, co-founder of the TLR Leadership and Coaching Academy, where we are in the process of becoming an ICF accredited institution. So really what we do is we coach, consult, work, and partner with broker owners as well as agents to increase all things related to growth, retention, productivity, and profitability. So that is our jam. That is what we do and we stand for. I guess I might add the quote-unquote little guy or the underserved. And you'll hear us reference the Blue Ocean quite often at the Locker Room, influenced, of course, by the Blue Ocean Strategy book. And to us, that is the 90%+ of agents out there who sell 24 or fewer homes per year, and or especially the new agents, the struggling agents, the dual career agents that otherwise may get left behind and not have access to world-class coaching and training for no other reason than finances. It's our job to really position ourselves in the coaching and training space to serve that demographic who want more and be more. See what I did there?
Ooh, I heard you throw it in there. It looks like we have some people. Oh, hey, we have some people rolling in. It is sixth season for anybody who's watching. And I know that some of the people who are watching, they're like, got to catch it online. I thought I'd be well. You're not well. So thank you for tuning in. And we do have a few peeps right here. Say hey.
What's up?
very cool. All right, so it's gonna freeze. Did it freeze? Can you see me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you're frozen.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes. All right, so what I'm gonna do, at least I'm smiling, right?
You are smiling on the frozen. Yeah. It could be worse.
Boom. Ooh. Well, anyways, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off with some questions. And these questions were pretty good because they came from some of our own agents. So I'm going to ask from Joshua G, Mr. Jake Dixon, okay, what are the top 1 to 3 things you see realtors fall short on that could improve their business dramatically?
Ooh, great question to kick it off. So top 1 to 3 things that realtors fall short on. Okay, I'm going to give number 1, consistency. I'm a big consistency guy. I think it's okay to dream big. We should dream big. And yet, as soon as we finish doing that, we need to think small and think consistent. What are those daily success habits that you know you can stick with and commit to over an extended period of time, long enough to feel and reap the fruits of that labor? So I see agents just kind of try the new shiny object and don't stick with any one thing long enough. And Ruben left me, so I think it's just me answering this question. Let's see, what else? Consistency, I would say skill set. I think especially in this changing market, they don't spend enough time focusing on skill set. Actually, like script and role playing, spending time on the practice field, honing in on their craft and doing the mundane and the little things long enough. You got to get your reps in, guys. You know, so whether that's consistency or just focusing on your skill sets and showing up for practice, and of course relating that to sports, I see agents not doing enough of that. So, and then finally, market knowledge. I think right now, especially what separates you from, you know, others that are maybe trying to boot the agent from the center of the transaction is understanding market knowledge. I'll hit you with this because Ruben Garcia is like the master at acronyms. Are you not? Yes, you are. You are the acronym guy. I'm doing a training on this in about a month or so. And it's CRMs, right? CRMs, but ... not what you think. So what are the things that I believe right now in this changing, evolving market that agents need to really focus on, which answers your, this guy's question? C is consistency. So CRMs. C is consistency. R is relationships, right? Reaching out, asking people how they're doing. What do you need? How can I add value to you? C, R, that's relationships. M is market knowledge. And then S is skill set. So CRMs is where I would be focusing to answer that question.
Market skill set. What does that look like? I mean, what are the top two things they need to understand in the market?
Market knowledge and skill set being two separate. Yes. So market knowledge, it's understanding, starting hyper local. Like, do you know what the average days on market are, the sale price to list price ratio, and breaking that down into different segments? Like, what's the average days on market and all of those other data points for $200,000 to $300,000 homes? What is it then from $300,000 to $400,000 homes? Just knowing and having an intimate knowledge of what's taking place and the trends and patterns within your own backyard. It just starts with understanding and knowing the market, being the local economist of choice.
Totally. And I will say most MLSs have this information on it. It's a simple just look into it, or even their website. You don't even have to necessarily be an agent. There's a something, I think it might even be market statistics that you can click on where you can look at the average sales prices and their absorption rates and all the other things. So it's not a difficult thing to find. Matter of fact, if you're going to do it today, just give me a thumbs up so I know. I'm going to move on to question number two, if that's okay with you, sir.
Yeah, right.
What failure along the way provided the most growth for you from Aaron B?
Oh man, these are good. He did not prep me for any of these questions. So forgive me if it takes a second to process. So what failure? What, could you read that one more time? I'm sorry.
No, sir. Moving on to number three.
No, awesome. Next question.
What failure along the way provided the most growth?
Holy cow. I don't know if it was a failure, if I'm allowed to reword the question, but there was definitely adversities and obstacles that I could apply to that question. Failure is just an interesting word, but I would say, I got to be careful here, Ruben. I would say there was a period of time, and Ruben was a co-pilot on this spaceship with me, when we had to overcome some significant challenges and external forces to take what is the locker room and thread this very fine needle within an organization, which I have a lot of gratitude for. But the reality is politics or different opinions and things, to build what we built at the time of which we built it underneath the roof that it happened under was nothing short of a business miracle. And what that really gave for me was a test of will, a test of a whole different level of strategic thinking that it required me to do and become. And just the persistence for a worthy cause. I know Simon Sinek writes about this in the Infinite Game book. Great one if you guys need a book to read. He talks about having a just cause. I was so hell-bent, and so was Ruben and so many others who believed in a common mission, a common purpose, that we were doing the right thing. We were doing God's work. Yes, dogs were going to bark left and right and try and slow us down, and everybody has an opinion. People are going to throw, you know, rocks at you and try and say you're doing something or being something. And you know what? As long as you keep the mission and do it professionally and ethically and morally correctly, I think the reason we're still standing here today talking and certainly friends, Ruben, is just locking arms behind a common purpose, even when it wasn't always the most popular thing to do. And we could have easily folded folded the deck.
100%. And I think that's super important for a lot of people to hear right now as well. I got a follow-up question to that. Did that experience take anything away from you?
Permanently or temporarily?
Permanently. I mean, something, because I will say it did for me. And I don't know if that makes me weak, but it did take something out of me. And I was just, I want to ask that same question to you.
Can I ask you back? What did it take out of you?
Okay. I'll say trust. I think I will never give my all or like my whole heart to something that is outside of my family. Because I don't know, for whatever, in terms of firms, by the way, like it's there's other causes that we can, but firms, because I was ride or die, and the way they treated you, the way they treated the locker room, the way they started treating me, it just took something out of me that I don't know if I'll necessarily have back for the firms that we work with in the future. And I don't know if that's politically correct or not, but it's my truth.
Yeah, I've never thought of that question. Did it take anything out of me? If anything, I would say it added a couple more chips on the shoulder that I had anyways. Sure. If anything, it added, and it's all just perspective, and maybe I'm playing semantics with it, but I can understand your perspective on, you know, the trust factor and different things like that. But I don't want to, I don't know, maybe yes, becoming desensitized or numb to certain things. But perhaps that's a good thing. Maybe I was too emotionally invested in the area and people and places that I was with. And maybe if anything, yeah, it's probably desensitized me a little bit to say, well, I guess everybody at the end of the day is in fact out for themselves. And everybody does have a price or a cost or, you know, the whole loyalty type thing. So I can understand definitely your perspective, but I would answer it the other way as well. It added a couple more chips on my shoulder than I had previously.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Yeah. We'll move on to the third question. As an agent just getting started that does not have a very large sphere of influence, what are the most beneficial ways to lead, generate, and grow my sphere? Courtney B.
Okay, Courtney B. A lot of questions I would want to ask back to that. So my apologies if I'm just giving a blanket statement here. First of all, I would interrogate your reality. Is that really true? Is that really true? You don't have a large sphere of influence. And if it is because you just moved to a new city where you know nobody, fair, got it. But a lot of folks, from my experience at least, end up saying things like that when it's not necessarily the truth. And what they're actually saying is they cherry pick their database. They scroll through their phone, which has 2,000 contacts in it. And then I pull up their Instagram, their LinkedIn, their Facebook, and they've got thousands of friends there. You can't really convince me at that point that you don't have enough people or a large sphere of influence to talk to. What you're actually doing is cherry picking. But if that is in fact the case, I'm still all about not just building it wide. I'm very much a favor of building your relationships deep. And so my advice to this individual, Courtney B, would to focus on your top 50 MVPs. Imagine on a blank sheet of paper, you've got the old T chart, right? Like the Benjamin Franklin. Draw a line and a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, I want you to have 25 spaces that you can fill in for your top 25 core advocates, the people from your family, your friends, you know who I'm talking about, former coworkers, church, those are the folks on that left-hand side. Then on the right-hand side, another 25 spaces, I want you to fill in the blanks of local business owners and service providers when it comes to real estate. Who do you know in the lending world? Who do you know in insurance? Who do you know that is a carpet cleaning company, a general contractor, an inspector, an appraiser, home warranty rep? I can go on and on and on. And I would have 25 names there, 25 names here. I've got 50. If each of them referred you one referral a year and half of those closed, you are now in the top 3% of producers, according to NAR, by selling 25 homes. You don't need it to be big. You need to be deep and real and actually have an established relationship, not just a superficial one.
And did you see that comment that came through?
No, because I'm too busy blabbing.
No, I love it. It says, I have done that, and I'm in the process of going back through it all and hit up the people I cherry picked over.
That's right. And that, okay, so thank you for that comment. And back to what I said earlier, CRMs, the S in that acronym stands for skill set. The reason, generally speaking, people cherry pick, if we go down that rabbit hole, is because it's not a I don't have enough people to talk to problem. It's a skill set problem, because the next thing is I don't know what to say. So hang on. Is it really you don't have enough, or is the real issue I just don't know what to say? That is a script, or in other words, a skill set problem, a confidence problem, because look back in your yearbook from 20 years ago when you graduated high school. Everybody in that yearbook knows you. Hopefully they like you. Maybe they do or don't trust you. I don't know.
50%.
But it's names. Like, that is part of your database. But the problem is, well, God, I haven't talked to him for 20 years. What the hell am I supposed to say? It's going to be awkward. Let's get very clear on the actual problem. It's more about I don't know what to say skill set versus I just don't have enough people.
Agreed. And sometimes it's just, hey, was flipping through my yearbook, saw your face, just wondering how you're doing. That's exactly. It. That's your script. That's
oh my God, can you believe 20 years has gone by? Look, let's not make this awkward. I haven't talked to you. You haven't talked to me, but whatever. What's going on? Catch me up.
That's it.
What are you doing for work?
And if they text, hey, wrong number, you know to move on.
Right.
If they say right number, then maybe you're in a conversation, which is excellent.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. What is the motivation that keeps you from growing? No, keeps you growing, TLR, Melissa L. You're growing.
What is the motivation to keep me growing, locker room?
Yeah.
Okay. It's twofold. Well, it's threefold. Number one, it's my family. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit it. We're not a nonprofit, right? It's I got to set a role model example. What I want my two young daughters growing up knowing and looking what hard work and their dreams and being anything you want to be and all of that stuff, that is first above all. Second is our coaches. I feel a deep sense of responsibility for the coaches, the team that represents and is what locker room is, to provide a world of opportunity for them that they can be successful inside of. I need to make sure my world can expand and grow and be big enough to continue to run with the Ruben Garcias of the world. So he invites me on Be More trainings, which are really cool. Okay. Number three, of course, is our mission. There are so many agents as well as broker owners out there who I deeply in my soul believe need what we have, and yet they don't know about us. So my job is to educate people, not sell or convince them. But I cannot sleep, sometimes literally, knowing that there's so many folks out there who just have never heard of locker room, have no clue what we are and who we're about. And that's on me. It's my job to educate. Once I've done that, it's their job, your decision, whether or not you want to be involved with us or not. I can't control that. But that's what keeps me motivated to keep growing and keep going.
You can hear the passion. You can hear the passion in your voice. So, and I've seen it firsthand and literally seen you hold the line and what you believe in and go against, you know, or at least buck against some of the vision of what who should really be served. I've seen you do that, and it's been against monsters, gigantic monsters, you know. So I've seen it done, and it's cool to hear that same, if not increased, strength into what you believe in.
It's definitely increased, yeah.
All right. So what do you see as the future? Oh, hold on. What are some of the most significant trends and changes you've observed in the coaching industry since founding the Locker Room Coaching? And how has your organization adapted to these changes? Shelby D.
These are really amazing questions, Ruben.
Like, our people are the best.
Y'all brought it, man. Okay, that's a big one. In a nutshell, I think obviously one of the changes we're all experiencing going through is just the ever-changing technology. You know, like whether it's Chat GPT and all these other things, like we were just having this conversation internally yesterday, actually, in an effort not to ever present ourselves as a dinosaur that goes extinct. There's a lot of noise out there. There is no shortage of coaching and training companies. And so the same battles an agent would face in their market, questioning, how do I stand out? How do I become that purple cow? You know, is the same questions that we have to ask ourselves at locker room, because they're just, and they're great. I'm not here to belittle any coaching and training company. I think they're all wonderful in their own rights. But you've got to figure out ways that are true and authentic to you and also differentiate you from the pack. And so one of the methods that we were just talking about is tying, being more social, being more technological. So if I'm going to teach on the old fuddy-dud way of, doing open houses, now, before I do that, I've got to figure out a way how that ties in, or how I can apply the sexy appeal factor to it of, hey, open houses using ChatGPT and artificial intelligence. Like, you got to tie those in is one of those ways. But man, the timing of that question, this Friday, it's been 3 years, actually. This Friday, myself and our two staff members on our leadership team are going through the Blue Ocean Strategy course. It's an online module. Again, it's an all-day deal. Asking and reassessing very questions like that, because I'm a big believer not competing. I am not interested in competing, because if I compete, and I hope you understand this in the right context, I'm very competitive. But if I judge what I do or the products and services I provide simply based on what the Joneses are doing, that means I'm waiting for them to make the first move and I'm reacting to what they do. That's not me. I blaze new trails. I don't give a crap what everybody else is doing. So I don't want to play in the red ocean. I'm over here playing in the blue ocean, creating new demand, creating new pockets, new niches that everyone else had neglected because they were over here too busy competing against one another. So I don't know if that really answers whatever the original question was, but...
No, you answered it, because the question went into what are some of the significant trends and changes, and you talked about the technology. Which, I mean, obviously we're seeing that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think I heard, you brought out some of the basics that some of us forget, open houses, CRMs, but what does it look like that to tie into the new stuff that's coming in, the technology and all of that as well, to excel it and differentiate yourself from everyone else?
Exactly. And I'm seeing a lot of joint venture stuff, honestly, just to add another caveat to that answer. I see a lot of people, and myself included, I'm seeking it right now, teaming up with folks like, oh my gosh, XYZ and the locker room are teaming up for a one-day boot camp or a three-day challenge. Like, there's a lot of, hey, let's swap databases almost, and I'll expose you to my people, you expose me, and we both win, we carry on with our days. And really forming those strategic partnerships, that I'm seeing more and more becoming a trend. I think it's smart.
Yeah, you see that at least in the firms. I've definitely seen that in the firms, but I would say not as much on the coaching side. So it's interesting that you're seeing that, and that it sounds like you're exploring it too.
Yeah, it's early, but I'm seeing it pop up more than ever before.
Got it. Do y'all have any questions so far?
I have one.
Go for it.
As opposed to when you're going on appointments with different sellers, like, would you approach a seller that has a $150,000 house differently than one that has $1 million house? Are some things keep in mind, internally? I don't know if it's something that you would say or the way that you kind of present yourself.
Right. That's an interesting question, because I have a belief on that, but I want to hear your perspective. Were you able to hear that question, or you want me to re-say it?
Just summarize it. I could hear it, but give me
Yes. So if you're going on listing appointments, and let's just say, just to add a little flavor, you're competing against other brokers. One's a $150,000 home, which is a decent home here in Fayetteville, to tell you the truth. But $150,000 and then a $4 million home.
Okay.
What about those two do you present differently? Your presentation, the way you dress, the way you speak, your verbiage. What is it on your part? What is it?
Yeah. So I'll give you my gut reaction answer to that, I guess. And you may disagree. I have no idea your stance on this. So what comes to mind immediately is I want to separate that in two things. Number one, there's a how I present myself piece to this, if I'm hearing that correctly. And number two, I can't help but add in, there's also a servicing and how I treat them element to this. So I'll start with the latter. I think you treat a $150,000 home client the same exact as you would a 1.5. I think the experience and the service and how you go about treating and respecting them, I just think you always hold that at the highest, highest, highest regard, no matter if you're a $60,000 seller or a $6.2 million seller. That's just my opinion. How I show up or present myself, unpopular or popular opinion, I think could vary, actually, because I'm a big mirror and matching guy. You know, if I show up in a full-blown suit, tie, and everything like that, and maybe it's judgmental or serious, I don't know that I would connect as well with somebody who, frankly, expects you to show up that way. I'm trying to be careful with how I say this because I don't want to be off-putting, but I think that can be a mirror and matching scenario, but the service should remain as consistent as possible. I'm interested in your opinion, Ruben.
No, I mean, I agree with that. I agree with everything you just said. I know that we've been on appointments where I've wore short sleeves and t-shirt, there were higher priced homes here in Fayetteville, and we still got the listing. Because I think ultimately it's the value that you're going to produce for them and the result you're going to produce for them. And then kind of stick into some of the stuff you teach, which is what's important to them about moving and really helping them with that. Cause maybe necessarily it's not that they need to sell fast for the highest price. Maybe it's something else. And if you can connect with them on that, they start to see through, I guess, how you were presented when you first showed up. It's helped us in the past. Especially, we go to some of these homes, even at the higher price homes, and it's a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
But it is good to know who your person is before showing up there to mirror match as well, I believe.
Yep.
That help?
Yeah, that was good. I was just, because I had run into that sometimes, like when I'm calling sellers and stuff like that, I noticed just, from like kind of like pre-screening questions, so I can kind of get their vibe, like of kind of how they are already. Yeah. I just want to get like your opinion on it.
Yeah. Pre-screening questions as well.
I want to just not retract anything I said. I just want to be extra clear so people don't miss you. I'm not saying fake it till you make it. I'm not saying be somebody you're not and just be a chameleon. Yeah. Like how you show up literally and how you speak and the service you provide. Like if they're your people, they'll see past whatever. I'm talking about like the style and how I present. I may not show up in a shirt and hat if I'm being interviewed by no offense, Ruben, Success Magazine, I'll probably do my hair and put on a little something. But because I'm here with you, mirror and matching you, but I'm still being who I am unapologetically.
Right. The help.
Yeah, that was good.
And this is going to give you more confidence anyways. You're not going in it as some fake mask. You're putting on a fake mask and you have to keep that up the whole time during the transaction.
I am who I am and I say what I say. Yeah. I'm just like physical appearance. I do change. I'm just being honest based on the crowd or stage or whatever I'm in front of.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Do you have anything so far? All right. Hey, anybody who's watching, if you do have a question, please ask. We will ask this. I have a whole list of other questions. But if you do have a question, we do want to reward you for showing up live. And we want to answer it. We want to answer that question. All right. This comes from Corey Kendall. What do you think is the number one reason some agents do not hire a coach?
Okay.
Put your gloves down.
No, I'm not like that. Not like that. So let's get this first one out of the way. I think price, I think there's a degree of it that they may not necessarily see it as an investment in themselves. It's a discretionary spending. But I think my actual answer is, because I have this platform and any chance I can educate, I will. I think the actual answer is there's a big misunderstanding, to no fault of anyone necessarily, of what coaching actually is. And you know this better than anybody, Ruben. Like, look, with me sitting here answering questions of how to show up to a listing, guess what? I've had one listing in my life. So if I'm disqualified to give coaching advice because I haven't done it at like the craziest of high levels, then I guess tune me out right now. Come back for next week with Be More because they're amazing. But the people who say those things, I try and put myself in their position and say, I understand why they say that. You go into any one of these Facebook groups and like, oh, anybody can be a coach. If they can't do it, then they end up teaching it. Look, yes, there's a lot of people out there who probably have no business being a coach, just like there's a lot of people who shouldn't be agents. So let's not throw mud and sling crap at each other. The problem is, people, when they think of coaching, what they're actually looking for is a professional advice giver. They're looking for a trainer. Now, I do believe to a degree to train on something that is more relevant for me having probably done it myself. But if you actually educate yourself on what coaching is, and it's the art of asking really amazing questions, leading the person to self-discovery, right? Holding them accountable, helping them tap into places and potential that they never knew existed. That, my friends, is a whole skill set that I have invested years into developing of how to be an actual great coach. But on the surface, most people hear the word coach and they're actually associating it with being a trainer or a professional advice giver. And that is not what coaching is. Run if you hire a coach who's just basically vomiting all over you saying, do this because it worked for me. That's training. That is not coaching.
That's a good point. So this would be a great time to plug your website for anybody who is interested on what coaching even is. And maybe they might have a free consultation or some type of conversation to see what it looks like.
We do it all the time, man. Yeah, of course. Well, thanks for the plug. It's just TLRNation.com. Stands for The Locker Room. TLR, The Locker Room. So TLRNation.com. There's freebies on there. You can plug into our Agent Breakthrough community. There's tons of stuff. You guys check it out if you're interested. And by the way, please look into our event in August, right? If you go to TLRNation.com/breakthrough event, you can see all the information there. It will sell out, but we have a day and a half, actually 2 days really, dedicated for agents. And we've never done that before. This is the first ever event from The Locker Room that we have had a specific day or two dedicated for agents. It's always been coaches and leadership up till this point.
I am very excited about that. We're actually going, bringing the family. We're very excited. And if you also want like up to date, almost every single day post about this event coming up, go to Proven by Ruben Mastermind on Facebook, the Facebook group. And luckily, one of your amazing people who work within the locker room ecosystem, Chelsea, she gives us these items that we're able to post. So thank you, Chelsea. But if you want that back-to-back reminder, go into that Facebook group and we'll be more than happy to remind you as well. So we have a question. What are your thoughts on being competitive with commission?
What do you think? Like,
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Facebook user, it doesn't say your name. I think what they're saying is, should I drop it to 5% in order to win the listing? I think, right? Do y'all have, yeah, that's my guess. And if I'm wrong, Facebook user, tell me.
Well, I didn't know if that, yeah, it depends. Like, are you a broker owner and you're asking about that, or are you an agent?
Oh, true. Good point. So yeah. Do both.
Well, either way, yeah. So I guess, yes, with the agent piece of it, oh man, I got to be careful.
This isn't the place you be careful, Jake.
Yeah. All I'm going to say is know your value. You are worth it. Okay. You are not meant to work with everybody. And that is okay. And everybody is not meant to work with you. And that is also okay. Because, you know, I'm sitting with a guy right here on the screen, actually right there he is, named Ruben Garcia, who I know commands, say what now, an 8%?
An 8%
commission. Not just 6, not just 7, but even 8. He doesn't go down, he actually goes up. Okay? So yeah, I've got a lot of personal beliefs on that, but I think from a coaching moment standpoint, if you cannot articulate your value proposition clearly, not why this person is bad and why I'm better. That's not what I'm saying. What are your core values? What is your mission? What is your belief system? That is more the answer when somebody says, why should I work with you versus that agent? Say, look, that's a great agent. I don't think it's professional. In fact, it's not at all to slander or talk poorly about another person in our profession. But what I will do is focus on me. And let me tell you, I can sit here and show you all the stats and data on how successful I am and I get home sold. That's fine, but I'd rather go over here and say, look, this is my mission. These are my core values. This is my belief system. Now, if that sounds like somebody that you align with, hire me. If not, that's okay too. I can refer you to somebody else if they work better for you. And the only way you can do that with some swag is spending the time and doing the internal work on your mission, vision, core belief systems, things like that. And we have exercises, of course, for it. But last thing, Simon Sinek again, one of my favorites, he said, and this liberated me, maybe for you too, the goal in business is not to do business with everyone who needs what you have. The goal is to do business with those who believe what you believe. End quote. So what do you believe in? What are those things that you take a stance for unapologetically? Get really clear about that. And then, as they say, your vibe will attract your tribe. And if not, you'll repel the wrong ones. You'll attract the right ones.
I almost want to end it on that. That was like amazing. That was great, dude. I really appreciate that. And you're exactly right. And for the agents who've heard me say this a million times, the price is only an issue in the absence of value. So just deliver the value. And I will say one of the number one thing, and I'll ask you, Jake, what do you think is the number one thing that clients want from their agent?
Well, I could go a lot of different ways. Number one, NAR research suggests communication.
That's it. Communication. If you can figure that out, which it's not, you just have, tool systems people. If you could do that, I'm telling you, you can demand a higher value because your value is higher if you could figure that piece out, which, you know, we've done. So
it's a race to the bottom. You can't discount your way to profitability. Yeah, in the moment, it's tempting because you want to win the listing or whatever it is. But what you're doing is setting a new precedent. And potentially, if you're not careful, who knows, in this, you know, sue happy world that we live in, all of a sudden you discount your commission to 4.5% for this person. And yet their next door neighbor that they just referred you to, you're saying, no, I'm going to do yours at 6.
Yeah.
Well, why did you discriminate against me? Why did that person get that? And I'm doing this. Don't think, they don't talk. Be consistent.
Totally. Totally. Do y'all have anything on that, on the commission stuff? No. Okay. And so I want to hear, because that was a good view that you saw there that I missed, which is, what about the pressure on commissions for broker owners?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that one.
You're good.
It's the same thing, man. You know, this is what these are the conversations we have on the daily. And what I tell broker owners, whether they want to hear it or not, and by the way, team leads, I put you in the same category, team leads. Number one, your compensation model is not, hard underline, not your value proposition. Yep. I'm not saying don't be competitive or whatever, but it is not your value proposition. If that's it, we got some work to do. That's very shallow. It's very superficial. All right. Now, on the flip side, from my experience, and I know yours too, Ruben, if all I do is recruit using high splits, low caps, whatever. Okay. There's always somebody willing to do it cheaper. And it's a race to the bottom, because the same reason, if that's it, if that's the only reason they were attracted to me, I guarantee you the same reason they join you is the same reason they will leave your ass. Okay. If you're not careful, if there's no sticky factor, training, coaching, culture, something more, they're gone. Because somebody else is going to promise them the world, and they're going to leave for the same reason they joined you if you're not careful. So we've got a profitability issue on our hands. I see this daily. The Real Trends and other companies produce these reports. Years ago, they said broker owners at the end of the day make 15 cents on every dollar. The operating margins, because agents' compressions are getting squeezed, and then the brokers feel like they got to squeeze theirs just to appease the agents and keep them from leaving. It's a race to the bottom. Puff out your chest, stand tall, and say, here's our value. I know I'm worth it. If you don't see it, on down the road you go to the next brokerage. I don't need them all. I need the right ones.
I feel like there's a lot of broker owners who need to hear that, especially in the last few years. There's been a lot of pressure, at least I've seen it. And I've seen a lot of the bigger brokerages change things that I never thought that they would change. And it's compensation. It's not necessarily the value.
They're competing on the wrong things. And that is my point. Read the Blue Ocean Strategy book. They're playing in the red ocean. They're sharks. That's the bloody waters, man. Play over here in the deep blue ocean that nobody is even paying attention to. You're competing with each other on the wrong thing, and it's stupid.
I agree. Who has, if you are watching, please keep asking questions. We're going to answer them here. Again, we want to reward you for showing up, or maybe you got this showing for your team and someone is sitting in the room that has questions as well. Please ask.
This is fun, by the way, Ruben. I like this Q&A style.
Yeah, I know.
I'm on my toes. I'm like, shit, what are you going to ask next?
Jake, I'm not even going to read it, but he texted me earlier and he was like, hey, what do I need to prepare for? And he's like, or are we just going to like go back and forth? I was like, just back and forth. This is where we get the most real, raw version of you and the answer that you didn't, and not that you would, but that you had to write down, how can it sound the best? Like, I just want the real Jake, and that's why we do it like
this. That's why I love you, man. Yep.
I love you too, sir. All right, here we go. Corey K, what is the process of becoming a coach on your team?
Well, I'm flattered you would ask. We do have a process. We have a few different opportunities, whether it's, hey, I'm a TLR growth partner, which says I want to coach and consult leaders. We have a TLR impact coach, which specializes in focusing on agents. And then I would say a different category, like TLR trainers. Maybe you're more interested in being on stages, speaking, doing more events and stuff like that. Okay. So either way, the process just begins with, like any process would, a conversation. Now we have an 8-step process that we go through. It's a very templated and yet personalized system. And we learn to trust the process. We don't skip over things just to rush it. So there is definitely a process in place, but with sparing you guys the time and details of that, it just begins like anything with a conversation. Reach out to us. I'll get you connected either with myself or ideally the person who really leads this thing. His name is Chuck, or Nathan could. And we'll get you in the right hands and have that conversation and just explore.
Here's a follow-up question to that. How would you start to identify that you probably sit in the seat of a coach better than an agent? What do you have to start identifying, or like, oh man, I noticed I enjoyed this way more? What does that process look like for somebody to finally say, I think I'd be a better coach?
Yeah, that's a big one, man. I can relate because I had that same tap on the shoulder, metaphorically speaking, or the whisper in the ear. You know, I early in my sales career, selling the one house that I did, it's not because I stunk. It's just because I sold it so fast. And I got a call immediately from the owner of my company saying, we want to interview you to be the team leader CEO of this office. I'm like, okay, let's go. I guess. But I had a background in building businesses and building downlines and things in a former career. So it's not like I was just some guy off the street. Now, that being said, I think for a lot of folks, it's operating in your strength zone. Maybe you're a former teacher, or you just really, what lights you up like a Christmas tree is when you're helping a peer, serving as their unofficial mentor, or the office asked you to train and you walked away from that training saying, wow, that was fun. Like, there's these signs and your job is just to listen to that sign or that voice or that tap on the shoulder and say, pause. Why do I feel that way? Is that just a fluke thing? How can I get more reps to see if it is or isn't? And why don't I feel that same level of fulfillment when I'm selling a house? So I think for every person, it's a different sign. I want to be careful on casting that, but you just know, man, like it screams from your soul that this is what I'm meant to do. And there's nothing wrong with selling. Like, this is a very professional and noble industry. We help families build wealth through home ownership. I mean, my God, right? Little Johnny's going to learn how to ride his bike over there. It's just, in my experience and several others, it's a different level of satisfaction knowing I'm actually developing the person and now collective group of people that create those memories for little Johnny. Like it's that little ripple effect thing. And I just get such a high sense of fulfillment from knowing that.
Yeah, I think you could tell. I think
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not directly involved in the transaction, but I'd like to think I had just a little piece of that, and a little piece compounded on top of each other is making my bucket overflow.
Yes, I love it. Here's a fun question from Lonnie. Who's your favorite baseball player?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so growing up, it was two, so I have to pitch a pitcher and a, you know, a hitter. So without a doubt, Nolan Ryan. Just an absolute beast. He's like, I'm coming after you. You know the pitch I'm going to throw. It's my fastball. I dare you to hit it. And if you beat me today, at least you beat me on my best stuff. Nolan Ryan, legend. Just an absolute beast and total dominating force on the mound. So that would be one. And then Ken Griffey Jr. He just had the swag and he had the thing, you know, with his hat backwards. Ken Griffey Jr. growing up, I even named one of my dogs Griffey after him. So, you know, those would be my two favorite players growing up for sure.
The love is real. The love is real.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. All right. So who's your favorite coach?
Like baseball coach?
Or no. Well, that's interesting.
Business or what do we?
Yeah. Let's do business at first. Business.
I mean, I can't.
Favorite.
I got 30 coaches. I'm not supposed to play favorites.
Oh, it doesn't have to be one of the people within the locker room. Okay,
it's truly
who that person is.
Let me answer it this way, and I'll give shout out because these guys deserve it. They played a big role in helping me. So I tip my cap, Wayne Salmons. If you ever see this, he's a great coach, great guy, become a friend over the years, and then Hank Avink. Many of you probably know Hank there. They've really helped me and shaped a lot of my thoughts, right, wrong, or indifferent. Certain things I didn't agree with and I went the other way. Other things they helped me see, I went towards it, right? But just certain people like that, I don't know if it's, I'm allowed to say favorites, but, you know, there's been a lot of folks, even though I don't have a personal relationship with the John Maxwells or Tony Robbins of the world, I would easily say they've been an audiobook coach of mine.
All right, we'll take that. And I believe in that. I mean, I know when I first had to walk in that dark room of just self-improvement, yeah. Right? You have nothing on the shelf and you just start from nothing. Yeah. Even if you don't have a circle of people that you can surround yourself with, you can always go to YouTube, you can always go to Amazon and get these audiobooks or watch these videos. And it's almost like they're sitting next to you, coaching you, talking you through things. So.
It's their life work in 200 pages. I mean, this is somebody's life work.
Yeah.
And I get to sit down and read it or listen to it for a few hours on an audio. Like, it is the quickest way to grow yourself. And so many people just don't make it a practice to read or consistently listen to books.
I guess that gives you the edge, doesn't it?
Sure does.
All right. Number one asset to have in a shifting market.
Whew. Okay. Relationships. Relationships, number one, in the form of your database, your core advocates, that is an asset. If you're going to sell your real estate business someday, that's some of the stuff that, you know, people might ask you for is your book of business, your clients, your database. And also relationships in the form of what we're doing right here. I want to surround myself with high flyers. There's a reason I could be doing a million and one things right now, as could Ruben, but I'm taking time to do this because I know the more I surround myself with Ruben Garcia and others like that, it takes the focus off the shifting of the market and where we can easily fall victim to terrible mindsets. And it's like, all right, let's go. Let's start strategic thinking. Let's start being solution-based. What are we going to do? And how do we adapt and pivot? Because I'm surrounding myself through relationships with other high-minded individuals. So relationships for the win, but one being your database and your sphere, the other being who you choose to surround yourself with. That is the greatest asset because it protects this thing up here.
I agree. We got a buddy that's moving back to Fayetteville and I'm like so stoked because every time we get together, we both start to elevate.
There you go.
It is. It's that relationship. Do y'all have any questions to that? Anything you guys want to throw at that? See, I'm building a stronger relationship. You see what I'm doing right here?
Yeah, I don't have any
Okay. And for anybody who's watching, if you got a really or got a question on that as well, and I'll say this, Jake, you know, we, yep, acronym. One of our big plays this year is comms, right? C-O-M. And we say comms because comms in the military is communication, right? And so the C is community, going back into your community and doing a lot more with your community and building those relationships. Yeah. The O is open house. That's a little bit more of a strategy move because open houses are coming back. Yeah. And then the M is meet, M-E-E-T, meaning go out and meet your core advocates. Like get off the Zooms, love you, Jake, but you're totally in a different state. But the ones that you can go meet and have break bread with and drink coffee or whatever with and just enjoy the time with them with no agenda. No hidden agenda. It's really going to help you build those relationships. And we focus on comms this year. And so far, so good.
Love that, man. See, it's easy to remember because you're the acronym guy.
My brain is small. I have to acronym out things to remember. So we said that. All right. And then we have about 10 minutes. So this is kind of perfect. Again, if you guys have questions, just go ahead and throw it out there. What is the best song to test a new speaker system with?
Oh, shit. All right, this is the stuff you could at least prep me with. Oh man, what your audience may not know is I listen to freak music, man. I like
what do you mean freak music?
Heavy screamo metal music,
like R&B soothing. Like,
no, it channels this. It's I don't know. It must channel some inner angst or something out of me. Like I don't know if your audience, if we got any like Slipknot, Mudvayne fans out there that like crazy screamo music.
Oh yeah.
Take your pick.
Yeah. I had one Slipknot song that I could not bleed. No bleed.
Wait and bleed.
Is it bleed by Slipknot? Someone's going to correct me on this and really
they have a really old song called Wait and Bleed.
Wait and Bleed. Yeah. I couldn't get it up. Remember I was playing it like crazy. I was just like, oh, I love it.
Don't judge me, everybody. Okay.
No, nothing to judge on that. But hey, if there's anything to test a new speaker with, it's that music, right?
I mean, you know.
What about Tool?
I never got into Tool.
All right, whatever. Next question. Two things.
I don't like his voice.
No, I like the voice. I like, anyways.
It's not hard enough.
What is the best? A little bit more strategery. We got two strategery things after this. What is the best strategy to win over for sell by owner that is not interesting in working with an agent or willing to pay a commission? Kakia answered this one or asked this question.
Or not willing to pay a commission. Well, that's temporary. That's 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks away from them being all of a sudden ready. So what's the best way to what? What was the ultimate question?
What is the best strategy to win over a FSBO that is not interested in working with an agent or willing to pay a commission?
Value them to death has been our experience is what we've seen. So coming from a place of contribution, saying, hey, you know what? Permission to follow up. And in the meantime, if anything changes, I want to make sure I'm that first agent that you call to be interviewed for the job. But if I can do anything in the meantime, let me add value to you. Here's a top 10 open house tips for you. Here's the safety protocol. Here's an addendum, and what it means just in case you need that in the event of an offer. You know, like borderline being accessible and giving just enough that's valuable. Don't give away the farm, right? To say, wow, they really authentically care. Now, if they're willing, you could even volunteer to do an open house for them, like a one day sort of deal. And that way, if buyers come through and that particular home isn't for them, cool, you might pick up some buyers. But I just think being a normal human being, stop being a walking billboard and slimy talking salesperson. Just say, okay, it's not right now, but what can I do and how can I still add value to you in the meantime? And you give them these little nuggets or little top 10 checklisty kind of things. You know, here's tips on how to increase your curb appeal. So when buyers are driving by, it's showing the way you want it to show. Just stuff like that.
I agree. And follow up. And I think, I think almost the propaganda of how you should be as an agent, you should know the language, how you should dress. You should be going in there, get that commission, get that listing. And ultimately, if you just sit back and just be yourself, you'll find that there's a lot more that you can accomplish. Because if anything, you don't get the listing, but you've built what? You've built a relationship, right? And in the day that their brother, sister, mother wants to sell or buy something, oh, by the way, your name just might come up. We get so focused on just the, what a real, quote unquote, real agent is supposed to do, and not just go back into who we are as a human being.
Well, and don't miss the other side of this. Odds are if they're selling, that means they're moving somewhere else. So just because you didn't get the listing doesn't mean you blow it and, you know, tick them off. And maybe they hire you to be their buyer rep on the new purchase.
So. Yep. Do you guys have any other further questions? Our not sick crew here today. Okay, and for anybody who's watching, if you got a question, but I want to go back, what is something you heard here today that maybe resonated and hit home for you?
The, what is it here? I know when he was talking about the top things that you should know, like as far as like average days on market, like this price to, that was something that I was kind of wondering about, like as far as things that you should know. Just as an agent, like the top things that you should know. So I always wondered that, like, because I see that on social media all the time. People talk about like mortgage rates and this points and stuff like that. So I was trying to figure out what, you know.
My buddy Josh Rogers, another shout out, does this so well. And just every week he does a new market update for his community down in Ponte Vedra, Florida. And so whatever his community is, I can't think of it at the moment, doesn't matter. He'll just go on social media and create a 30-second or minute-long little video saying, all right, it's your neighborhood realtor here, Josh Rogers here in blah, blah, blah neighborhood. Look, in the last week, X number of homes sold, X number of homes went under contract, the current average sales price is X, and the current days on market is X. It's so hyper-local and just crunchy that the quote-unquote average person can consume it and understand, not using big, fancy, crazy language. And he's just the man. He's the master at that kind of stuff. So it doesn't have to be like so in depth, at least to the public's eye, but it's important for you behind the scenes to know and number crunch and be able to see trends. And the longer you do that, the easier it gets. And you'll look at a set of data and say, oh, well, here's the story that's happening from it.
100%. You know, and I actually, Monica Baker, shout out to her. She kind of helped me self-realize this when she asked me how much energy, why do I have so much energy or whatever. Yeah. I said, your energy meets you at your commitment. And so for Josh, you know, he set a commitment probably in his calendar to do this. So now there's an accountability piece there, that there's some people maybe looking out for that market report. So he's got to know it. He's got to learn it. He's not relying on himself to hold himself accountable. Literally a community is holding him accountable.
Exactly right. He started these 6 years ago. His YouTube channel has thousands of videos. He did 140 million last year of volume with his team. And 60%+ of his business comes cold turkey from YouTube, because people from New Jersey or wherever are watching it. And he is the guy. Nobody has more videos, more expertise on the local market there than him. Because when you Google search Nocatee homes for sale in Nocatee, Florida, he's right there organically on the front page with his videos and stuff. So people, when they call him and meet him, there's a fame factor, like, oh my God, it's really you. Like, you're famous.
Yeah.
It's just Josh. But it's compounded over years of him now dominating the search engines. And he just does a great job with it.
So. What did you get out of this? That's my wife, by the way. I know.
I get, what's up?
I just liked how you talked about trying like the old school ways to like new trends and things, like ChatGPT with open houses and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that's cool, and I'd be interested to kind of look more into that. But also, you piqued my interest when you were talking about coaching, because that sounds very similar to what I used to teach. And when you were describing it, I was like, okay, yeah. See that?
She actually picked up her first client, and no coaching for me. She just picked up her first client and went for it. And it's more about the building. It's more about a business building your own business. Sure. Right. So I don't know much about it, but she picked up her first client.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So she not only
you go, girl.
Yeah. Felt it. She actually leaned into it and tested it, which is all is hard for all of us in the beginning. Okay. What is our time worth? What is our value worth? And she leaned in and got the client. So,
yeah, well, that would be a fun interview someday to interview her or Carissa. Like, what's it like to be married to a coach? Now that's an episode.
Oh, arguing? No, there's not much. Yeah. All right, I'm going to end it on this because I know you got a 12 o'clock. What resonated with me was evaluating whether or not your SOI is actually as small as you think. I love that. Going to snap myself out of that nonsense. Needed the tough love. Celeste.
Celeste, you won the internet today. Great, great stuff. Love that.
I appreciate it, Jake. If anybody wants to know more about what the locker room is doing, go to TLRNation.com. Even look it up on Facebook. They have their own Facebook groups where they're constantly dropping value. Is there anything lastly that you would like to add? It is 12 o'clock on the dot.
Just thank you, man. Thank you for always bringing value and people like me opportunity to pour into your community. And we love you. We appreciate what you guys do, man. And I guess the last thing would be check out the event specifically, TLRNation.com/breakthrough event. Love to see you in Orlando.
I'm excited to be there. Appreciate it, man. See you.
All right. See you, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.